Okay, good evening, everyone. As Hashem, we are going to continue with the positive commandments of Shabbos. We spent the last two shiurim on the mitzvah of Kiddush, and I just wanted to discuss one more aspect in regards to Kiddush before we go to the next mitzvah, the next issue. And just one thing about Kiddush that I've been asked by students of mine and by other women. If you understand what I'm about to say, great. If you don't follow it, don't worry about it. It's not as important. But just one thing I just wanted to mention about Kiddush before we move on. We had mentioned a couple of shiurim ago that the obligation to make Kiddush Friday night is mid-ayraisa. It's an obligation by Torah law. That is for both men and for women. We mentioned that to make Kiddush over a cup of wine specifically, that is an obligation only midrabbanan. So there's a question that many people discuss, that the problem is that if a father davens in shul, and during his Shmona Esrei he mentioned Shabbos. So if he mentioned the Kedusha of Shabbos in Shmona Esrei already, really he fulfilled his obligation on a de'iraisa level. He only now has a Rabbanon chiyuv, a chiyuv midrabbanon, to specifically mention over a cup of wine. So therefore, when the husband comes back to the Shabbos table and he makes Kiddush over a cup of wine, he really only has an obligation midrabbanon to do it over a cup of wine. Whereas the woman in the house, his wife or his daughters, that are above Bas Mitzvah, they have not davened yet, so they have an obligation mid-ayraisa, because they didn't mention Shabbos yet at all. So how can it be that someone that only has an obligation on a derabbanan level fulfill the mitzvah for somebody that has an obligation on a de'iraisa level? And I saw in the Sefer Ishei Yisrael, a Sefer that we quoted in Hilchos Tefillah, he says that therefore some people are makbid that the women make sure to daven Ma'ariv on Friday night, even if during the week they do not daven Ma'ariv, which we discussed those halachos, but at least Friday night they should daven Ma'ariv, because this way they will also be obligated only on a derabbanan level. There are those that say that if not, it's a big problem. The Dogel Mevavo, who's the same person as the Noid Yehuda, says he's not sure. How could it be that the rabbanan fulfill a deraisa? But practically, you do not need to worry about it. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and many others say it's not a problem. I saw five reasons given why it's not a problem. Number one is that the obligation over a cup of wine is mid-deraisa, perhaps, according to some opinions. Number two is that we need Kiddush b'makom se'uda, a term we mentioned last night, and the man in Shmona Esrei, of course, did not have Kiddush b'makom se'uda. Or that number three is that he didn't have kavana to fulfill that mitzvah of Kiddush. Or number four is that he didn't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he needs to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. A fifth answer is that women are included in Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh when she's obligated mid-deraisa. So a person can fulfill the mitzvah for them, but don't worry about it. It's practically, it's not so important, because we paskin that it's not a problem. As we see every week, week in and week out, men make Kiddush for their wives, even though they davened already in shul, and perhaps the women did not. But that is a question that is discussed, and if that was a question that you were bothered by or that you heard of in your past, so that is what the discussion is all about. To move on to the next topic that I wanted to discuss, even though this is not a halacha shir on Hilchos Brachos, but we were going to discuss tonight for the next few minutes, is a halach on Hilchos Brachos, because it comes up now at this point in the Suda. I've seen in many families that after Kiddush, everyone goes into the kitchen to wash, and before people wash, what a lot of people do, unfortunately, is they see something very appetizing on the counter or on the table. Let's say they go into the kitchen to wash. So in the kitchen, the wife has been preparing food and making dips and making salads and, you know, setting up the trays. What a lot of people do sometimes, unfortunately, is they pick from the salad, or they take from one of the dips, one of the pickles, the olives, something like that. That is not allowed to be done according to halacha. If someone eats it without a bracha, of course that's not allowed. How could you eat without a bracha? And if you do make a bracha, then that is what we call a bracha she'ena tzricha, a bracha that is not necessary. Now, it's not necessary because since someone is about to go ahead and wash, and those other foods would not need a bracha in the middle of the meal, since you're about to go ahead right now and wash, you should not eat anything else that would require its own bracha. you go ahead now. Somebody goes and takes from the salad, they make a hadama on the piece of lettuce, the tomato. So that is a bracha sheina tzricha, since they were about to go ahead and wash. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it's not a matter of minutes. It's just simply since you're the table set, you're getting ready to wash, you're hanging around the kitchen, you're just waiting for your turn to wash. That is a bracha that could have been avoided. And this is important. You put a piece of bread in the toaster oven and you're waiting for it to pop. It's getting ready in a couple minutes. Maybe it's not ready yet. I mean, it's for sure edible now, but it's going to be ready in a few minutes. You should not go ahead and start drinking your coffee. Make a shahakal and drink your coffee. You should wait until you have the hamotzi and make the hamotzi, because that shahakal is a bracha that could have been avoided. And we're not going to get into all the details of a case of, let's say, the food's on the way. Let's say it's not edible yet. It's being brought to me by a waiter or a waitress. We're not going to get into those halachos, but that is just a very important halach in regards to a bracha she'ein etzricha, not to be confused with what we call a bracha levatala. A bracha levatala is much worse. Perhaps it's mederaisa, perhaps it's a very strict mederabanan, but that is an avera that a bracha was said totally in vain. Someone just gets up in the middle of nowhere and says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam B'rei Pri Eitz, with Hashem's name. That is a bracha levatala. That is much worse. Absolutely no reason. Here, it's not for absolutely no reason. A person's picking from the salad. They needed to make a hadama. But it is a bracha she'ein etzricha. And the Shulchan Aruch even says, in Reish Tezvav, that you're not allowed to say amen to a bracha she'ein etzricha. So that should definitely be avoided when someone, people are going into the kitchen to wash. That is an important halacha to keep in mind. And also, as far as the bracha she'ein etzricha, a lot of times you'll find that people bench Friday night or whatever it is, and even during the week, they bench, and then right after they bench, they take a drink because they finish, or they're thirsty, or they finish the soda that was left over in their cup. That should also be avoided, especially if you know about the drink in your cup beforehand. Finish what you have to drink, and then go ahead and bench. Because if you bench first, and then you want to finish the drink, you'll have to make a separate bracha, and that bracha also could have been avoided. My wife's grandfather, whose name is Rabbi Shua Yitzchak Belsky, he was a Rav in the Lower East Side, a whole long story, he's in Europe, but he was a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber, and he once asked, he wrote in an Akdama to his Sefer that he wrote called Mechemes Yoshua, he asked a question. He said, we find many Chazal, many Psukim in the Torah even, that the Torah and the mitzvahs are compared to fire. Miminoi Eish Das Lome, Hashem is the Eish Oichla Kel Kana, that the Torah and the mitzvahs are compared to fire, and Hashem is compared to fire. Why fire? There's many explanations in the Mefarshim, but his explanation was that if you take, there are many things that could damage, a knife, a sword, an arrow. Those items, it's only damages with force, with bad intentions. A person touches it very gently, a knife or a sword, a person won't get hurt. Whereas by fire, once a person or any object gets in contact with fire, automatically it's burnt up, even without any bad intentions. Automatically, boom, it just gets consumed. And he says it's that way by Torah and mitzvot, that if a person hangs around a bad environment and hangs around bad people, automatically they will get influenced for the bad. If a person hangs around with friends that schmooze about Lashon Hara, then it's just automatic. You're going to be listening to Lashon Hara, and it's automatic. It's just natural to talk about Lashon Hara. If a person hangs around places by looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at, it's just automatic. You're supposed to drive with your eyes closed. If you go in certain places, it's just automatic. If a person's going to be around bad people or bad situations, obviously they're going to get affected. And it's also for the good. He talks about being a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber. If you hang around Tzaddikim and Gedolim, then of course automatically a person will be influenced for the good. And I once heard a Hasidic Shepshat based something on this week's parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, we know Parashas Chukas, it talks about if somebody enters in the same place, same room as a dead body, the person will become Tameh. And the pasuk says, "Kol abo al oyel v'chol asher bo oyel yitma shivas yamim." If a person just walks into the room, they don't have to do anything. Just to walk into the room for a few moments, boom, they become tame automatically. And that's the same concept, that if you walk into the room and you hang around bad people, it's just automatic. Naturally, a person is going to be influenced, whether it's for the bad or hopefully for the good. And that is very important to know. You want to call a friend, you want to schmooze on the phone, that's allowed, it's encouraged, that's great. But be careful who you hang out with. And of course, I'm sure all of you only hang out with good people, but that's very careful. Your person needs to be very careful about being involved and being close to good people, but not chas v'shalom to bad people. This way we could be influenced only for the better. Okay, everybody should have a good night.